A reading from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed, even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain souls." Given the season of the year we're in, with Christ the King having just passed us by and Advent right around the corner, my initial reading of today's Gospel from Luke led me to clump it with similar passages from Mark and Matthew about the end times, what it will look like just before God wraps up history once and for all. I learned something new, though, when reading the exegetical commentary on this text. Something that is, of course, obvious if one slows down to read carefully the verses just before which this passage, which I'm embarrassed to admit I hadn't done before. The something is that Luke's Jesus isn't talking here about the end of time at all, but about the end of the temple in Jerusalem, an event that had taken place in 70 AD, about 20 years before Luke put pen to parchment. Luke wants us to know that Jesus was a trustworthy prophet, much like Jeremiah was a trustworthy prophet when he stood in the midst of the temple hundreds of years earlier and predicted it would fall just before it did the first time. Jesus, like Jeremiah, doesn't tell people what they want to hear. He tells them the truth. And the things Jesus said would happen had happened in the decades between Jesus' preaching and Luke's writing. There had been wars and earthquakes. Rome had devastated the city, despite all the false leaders that tried to rouse the people to revolt against the empire and promise they could triumph. More than that, in the years preceding the fall, Jesus' disciples themselves had been under attack. They'd been arrested and imprisoned. They'd been betrayed by their families and hauled before authorities with suspicion. How do we know? Because Luke also wrote the book of Acts, and all the things Jesus is saying here in chapter 21 run parallel to the adventures he records about the early church in the season just before the temple fell. The point that seems important here is that Jesus isn't talking about what life will look like at the end of time, but in the church's time, which sounds pretty dreadful, granted, but also is not the end. I remember many moons ago when I was taking a church history course, and each era we studied seemed worse than the last. The professor would say, "Well, this was a particularly dark and dangerous era for the church." But she said it so often that one day in class we finally confronted her. "You say that every week. Every century sounds like a dark and dangerous time in the life of the church." And she laughed and admitted, "Well, now that you mention it." There are still earthquakes and wars, famines and persecutions. Families are still divided down the middle on politics and religion, and continue to betray their members in horrible ways on a regular basis. False prophets still abound, feeding on people's deepest longings and worst biases. Is our century any worse than the last 20? Two semesters of church history would not lead me to think so. Is it any better? I doubt that too. So perhaps the existence of such events is not really Jesus' point here. Maybe the more important focus in the text is what comes next. After listening to all these dreadful things, Jesus says something really intriguing. "This will give you an opportunity to testify." Here is where I found myself sitting for a while and wondering. In Luke's gospel, it's almost as if all the crashing and burning sets the stage for the preacher to arrive and to give a word. And what word? And why only then? My wonderings became more immediate, more personal. In what way have the cataclysmic events of our times prepared me to receive testimony? In what way have the cataclysmic events of my life, small though they may be in grand scheme of things, prepared me to give testimony? And in what kind of testimony have they prepared me to give? I know for myself there's something about suffering that readies me to listen to another person's testimony. The fact that I have suffered makes me hungry, even desperate for answers in a way that I wasn't before. The fact that they have suffered makes them more trustworthy, more credible a witness to me. Why do we sit at the feet of Desmond Tutu, trip over ourselves to catch a glimpse of the Dalai Lama, strain to hear the quiet voice of Immaculée Ilibagaziza? Because they have witnessed earthquakes and famines, wars and persecutions by their own people, and we believe they have something to say that they may not have otherwise. As Jesus says, these events have prepared us to listen and to talk in a new way. But about what? What is the testimony? Here is where I think we must be most careful, for Jesus seems to say that you can't prepare for all that life has to hand you, nor can you prepare in advance what you're going to say about it. There's no canned message here for Jesus to give his disciples, no talking points. He only says, don't prepare your defense in advance. Don't interpret things before they happen. Only God can give us the wisdom we'll need, and only at the moment in which we will need it. Words come like daily bread, and we can't collect them for tomorrow lest they become stale and rotten like stored manna. And I'm guessing you've tasted stale words coming to you from a pulpit before, words that you suspect have not been lived, have not been tried, have not been tested, when what you're looking for is words that are true, words the preacher doesn't just know about, but knows. So experiment with me for a minute here, because like Luke's commentary so long ago, I know that every person who listens to this is aware of the cataclysmic events going on in our world today. And moreover, in his or her own personal life has suffered. You know what it's like to have loved and to have lost, to have your faith be a source of friction in your life. You know about family divisions and betrayal. You too have seen temples fall that you thought could never crumble. And you may not live in the end of time, but you do live in the church's time. And I wonder, what is the testimony that you would offer today? What word do you want to give to a world that knows so much grief? It doesn't have to be something you'd say for forever. It doesn't have to apply everywhere and always or be a definitive, singular answer to the vast sufferings of our world. It might be a word just for today. The wisdom of God for this place, at this time in our struggles. And that's okay. But the world needs you to give it. And now is your opportunity. And so what is the testimony you have to bear? And where could you share it today?